You can find our reading on page 1145 of the Church Bibles, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading from verse 8 to 17. So that's page 1145 of the Church Bibles, 1 Corinthians 3, 8 to 17. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. This is the word of the Lord.
Alec, introduce us, brother, to this.
The seven keys to growing your church. Unlocking the secret of church growth. The four building tactics of mega churches. Excuse my accent. Alternatively, the church just needs to get with the times. The church needs to give people the freedom to be themselves. The church needs to love and embrace difference no matter what. What should the church do in order to grow? Or to use Paul's metaphor in 1 Corinthians, how should we be building the church? The wisdom of the world might tell us this or that, where we're going wrong or how we could be less at odds with the culture. But what does God say about building his church? What does it mean to be a wise builder? And why does it matter? That's what we're going to be considering this evening. Do be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. It's page 1145, 1146 in the Church Bibles. So what does God say about building the church? What does it mean to be a wise builder, not a foolish builder? And why does it all matter how we build in the end? The Corinthians, as we've seen over the last few weeks, they are a church that is going in a dangerous direction. Paul has spent three chapters telling them to repent of their worldly attitude to what is wise. But here in verses 8 to 17, Paul turns his attention to the church itself, the gathering of believers in Corinth that he's writing to. Because as a gathering, they've started to become worldly again. And Paul uses a picture to explain what is going on. In verse 9, he uses the image of a building. The church is God's building, he says. And that's our first point, really, and it seems quite simple, doesn't it? The church is God's. It belongs to God. Now that seems simple, but without recognizing that to start with, the rest of what Paul says makes no sense to us at all. The church is God's building. It belongs to him. It does not belong to the leaders of the church. Their gathered community of Christians in Corinth belong to God. And so we here gathered tonight, we don't gather because it's just nice to do it. We don't gather to be a sort of social club. We gather because we belong to God. We corporately, as well as individually, belong to him. He owns us. We are his church. And because we belong to God, we build his church with care. That's Paul's main point in this passage. Paul describes himself as an expert builder, a master builder. And that may seem a bit arrogant to describe yourself in such a way. Until we look at what makes him such an expert, it's all about laying a perfect foundation. One of my neighbours back in Enfield was quite a DIY man. And not just kind of shelves and IKEA furniture, but proper DIY. And he decided he was going to extend the front of his house on his own, by himself. And one day this digger arrived. It's kind of not a massive thing, but one of these miniature diggers. And he was in it night and day, just digging trenches in his front garden. These big, wide, deep trenches. And the reason they spent ages digging these trenches and measuring them and getting them perfect was because they were the foundations for the building. Without those trenches, the whole building would be unstable. The building could come crashing down. The trenches mattered. It mattered that the foundation was perfect. And a wise builder, which he was, a wise builder knows that if the foundation isn't right, the building won't stand. The foundation has to be right before you can start building anything else on top of it. And Paul says that the foundation he laid is Jesus Christ. And we've actually heard this repeatedly over the last few weeks as we've looked in 1 Corinthians. In the first three chapters, Paul says he preached the gospel. He preached Christ crucified. He preached nothing but Christ and him crucified, the word of God. And he says this is essential for us. Now, we are remembering at the moment the Reformation, as Nathan mentioned at the start, and Martin Luther, who nailed those 95 kind of points of objection to what the Catholic Church at the time was doing, he had these words to say about this passage. He said, you can never know the Lord Jesus Christ unless you first become a fool again and humbly let yourselves be taught and led by the simple word of God. And that is a point Paul's been making throughout Corinthians. It seems foolish to the world, but it is actually real wisdom that Jesus Christ was crucified to save sinners. And the church can lay no other foundation other than Jesus Christ. And Paul knows, he's not stupid. He knows that other builders have come along to the Corinthian church, and so he's giving them words of help, but words of warning. He says, be careful how you build. Do not try and lay a different foundation at all. You can't. You just can't lay a different foundation. The church can only be built upon Christ and Him crucified. It is the core of the gospel, the foundation of the church. Have a look at this photo. You might have to look twice at what's going on in that photo. Can you work out what happened to that building? Because when I first looked at it, I thought, well, that's a strange-shaped building with windows on the top. But actually, what had happened is this building has completely toppled over and seemed to keep its structure, but toppled over sideways. And what they'd done is they built this structure with foundations, but then they'd started to build an underground car park next to it. And in the process of doing that, they dug away the foundations. And the whole building just, the foundations completely gave way and it crashed. That is as far as I know, that's a completely real photo. It's not staged. And because the foundations had been tampered with, the whole building comes down. And Paul is saying that the church cannot stand. It cannot be built upon a foundation that is not Jesus Christ. If you remove him, the church will fall. If you try and build on a different foundation, you're departing from Christ. And that is the danger that the Corinthians were falling into. They valued worldly wisdom, not the cross of Christ. They loved to follow and argue over their celebrity gurus, trying to make them and their message the foundation of the church. And in chapter 5, as we'll see in a few weeks, they'd even been allowing a very worldly way of living to come into the church, and run rampant in the church. But to depart from him, to depart from his ways, is to remove the foundation of the church, which in the end will only destroy it. And Paul has very strong words of warning for those who destroy the church. And we'll see that in a few moments. But first, as we hear his words that call us to build with care, it quickly raises a question. What are we building with? If we're building with care, what is it that we are building with? Have a look at verses 12 and 13. It says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Though this passage certainly speaks to church leaders who are going to be held account to a greater extent, it also speaks to anyone who builds, to all who build. So that's all of us that Paul is talking to. Not just leaders in churches, but all of us in churches. Paul expects us all to be building. And the question is, what are we building with? What is the quality of the material that we are using? He identifies these materials, gold, silver, and costly stones on one hand, and wood, hay, and straw on the other hand. Those costly materials are really significant because as we think about the church as God's building, they're significant because the temple in the Old Testament that King Solomon built was built with those costly materials. No expense was spared on building the temple in the Old Testament. And so just as Solomon put everything into building the temple, so we should give our all to building the church. But this isn't just about money. It's not just about, it's not even about just about hard work or the amount of time that we commit. Paul wants us to see that in this metaphor of a building, it's the quality of the materials that matters. The quality of the materials must be consistent with the foundation. So is what we do when we meet together in keeping with the foundation, Jesus Christ, is it compatible with him? I don't know if you're thinking, well, I don't have much to say about what happens on a Sunday, so how much building am I able to do? Well, let's think a bit broader than that. You know, as we gather as God's building in Hartford, and remember, we're not talking about this with walls and a roof. We're talking about us, our God's building. As we gather, so much is happening, and the question we have to keep asking is this in keeping with Jesus Christ and his teaching? Now, don't just think services and activities. Think conversations. Think prayer. Think godly counsel of one another, encouraging one another to keep turning to Christ and his ways. In chapter 4, Paul is going to send Timothy to remind the Corinthians of the ways of Jesus. And Timothy will build them up in order to keep them following Jesus' way. And in this 6:30 service, for example, we deliberately have styled the service so that even though we begin at 6:30, we allow for 10 minutes of time to talk to one another, to build one another up. So think about those conversations. Are we using them to build one another up, or are we talking about what happened in a football and bake-off? Are we building one another up on the foundation? Are we encouraging one another in following the way of Christ? And that can feel really hard to do sometimes. It can almost feel unnatural because we're just not used to those sorts of conversations very often. But as we read on in this passage, we see that it really does matter. Not just now, but into eternity. Because Paul points us to the day that is coming that will bring everything to light. The day that is coming when all our work at building the church will be shown for what it really is. The day is Jesus' return. On that day, all the church building work that we've been doing will be tested for its quality. The language of fire that this passage used, it's not used here in terms of punishment or purification in this passage. Here, fire is used, the image of flames is used that test the quality of the building. As the flames pass over what has been built, what remains afterwards is what was of quality material. It was in keeping, it was compatible with the foundation of Jesus Christ. But what is burned up, what is consumed by that passing fire was not quality. It was wood, it was hay, it was straw. It was perishable. And we do well here just to remember that Paul is writing to Christians. They're struggling and they're heading in the wrong direction, but they are Christians. And verse 15 makes clear that they are saved. This work of building the church, does not in any way contribute to their salvation. They're saved regardless because they're trusting Christ. And if we for a second thought that building up the church contributed to our salvation, then we'd be pulling out the foundation of Jesus crucified, who saves us. But Paul, he is clear that there is a sense that on that day, as the fires have passed over the church, some things are consumed and some things are left standing. And that we will look back with glad eyes or with a sense of loss. The builder whose work has survived receives a reward. Now remember again that this isn't to do with salvation, that they are already Christians, they're already saved. But there is a sense of reward. Perhaps the reward is hinted at in chapter 4, verse 5, just a bit further down the page, where he says, "At that time, each will receive his praise from God." Maybe the reward is hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But maybe, as with Paul and the Thessalonians in his letter to the Thessalonians, it's looking around on that day as you stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and looking around and seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ standing there with you. Those brothers and sisters from Hartford, from that gathered church in Hartford, worshipping God with you. Imagine the sense of joy at that. That the building work you are involved with, by God's grace, he has used it and it withstood the flames. You know, those difficult conversations with a brother in Christ who was struggling with temptation, they were painful. But they led him back repeatedly to Christ, to the forgiveness. And now by God's grace, he stands here with you on that day. Or that time you spent weeping with your sister in Christ as she was suffering. And as you reminded one another of the promises of God and clung on to them in the darkest times. And now her tears are no more as she stands and worships around the throne. Imagine the joy in that. It won't be pride. It won't be a sense of, "I did that." It'll be joy at the work, that the work has survived, that God in his grace has used those conversations to build the church, and it has passed the test of flames. Imagine the joy in that moment. And I pray that that would be our experience, that we would carefully build the church here in Hartford, in Christ Church Greenbank, build the church upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and never leave that foundation. And that on that final day, we would be overjoyed to see the church we are part of has passed through the flames, that we are gathered around the throne, along with the rest of that great multitude from every nation, tribe, people and language. And we are worshipping God together. But what about verse 15? "If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." Depending on the work we have done, the quality of our building, there may be a sense of loss on that day. That for those who have not built on the foundation of Christ and his teachings, but built in other ways, the fruits of their labors will be consumed by flames. Remember the Corinthians, they were turning to worldly wisdom. That is what they saw as valuable. at the expense of the cross of Christ. And on that day, worldly wisdom will be shown for what it is, something merely human with no character of Christ, no gospel in it. The church growth initiatives that place structures and systems above the gospel. Philosophical gatherings of wise people that have ignored the wisdom of God. Spiritual meetings where silence is kept or songs are sung, but Christ is not proclaimed and his teachings are ignored. Where he's not known in the hearts or on the lips of the congregation. Where the foundation is ignored and departed from. And it is easy to point the finger out there, especially in the Church of England, as you kind of hear of horrendous things happening and empty, meaningless things being done. But Paul is writing to a church and telling them to be careful how they build. And so as we read this, we read it as a church. And we're missing the point if we only look at the church out there, at other examples. We need to think about how we are building the church here. What a sense of loss we would feel when we look back and reflect on all that time spent asking people, how are you? Or how was your week? But never really caring about their answer. Or never having that conversation about how someone's week was spiritually, how they're doing in their walk with Jesus, and what they're struggling with. And I find this immensely challenging personally. I'm the first person to resort to easy conversation about anything over a personal heart-to-heart challenge. How honest are we with one another in our home groups when we ask for prayer? But it can be more than conversations, can't it? It comes down to how we use the gifts that God has given us. And Paul is going to put a major emphasis on this in chapters 12 to 14. And we won't cover it now, but very briefly, God has given us all gifts that are to be used to build up the church. So, are we using them? Are we using them to build upon the foundation of Christ? But is it really all that important? Is the church really so special that I should be so intentional about my speech, my words, my conversations, my prayers? Why does my building work really matter? Well, Paul anticipates that question in verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you or dwells with you? In the Old Testament, the temple was the dwelling place of God amongst his people, the place where sinful people met a holy God. And we've already thought about the materials that King Solomon used to build his temple, a glorious temple that had to be built. It was worth those materials. It was worth all the expense because it was where God dwelt. It was worth it because God was worthy of it. And the wonder of the gathering of believers that we call church is that it is God's temple. It's not this building, but this gathering. It is an utterly amazing claim that these faulty, feeble Corinthians who were dangerously going in the wrong way are gathered together in Jesus' name, are God's dwelling place. That we, faulty and feeble though we are, as we gather here in this village called Hartford, as we do church together, we are the dwelling place of God. As we stand on Christ as our foundation, God's Spirit dwells with us right now as we worship Him, as we hear Him speak through His Word. He, by His Spirit, dwells among us now. That is church. That's extraordinary. That is amazing that the church is God's temple. His Spirit dwells with us. That's amazing. But it also serves as a huge warning, doesn't it? In verse 17, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. That is a huge warning to those who would seek to destroy the church, to remove its foundation of Jesus Christ. God will destroy that person. So important, so sacred and holy and special is God's dwelling place, that to destroy it is to face destruction. We are God's temple. We are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we continue to build on that foundation. But woe to anyone who seeks to destroy the church, to destroy God's temple. So, let us build with care. Let us build intentionally. Let us build in keeping with Jesus Christ and His ways. And let us remember that there will be a day when we can look back, when the flames have passed, and we can see the church standing there, worshipping God together. Let's pray as we dwell on that. Father, we thank you that by your Spirit you are with us now. That we are faulty and feeble, but yet you dwell among us. We praise you for that, and we thank you for your presence. Lord, help us to build carefully, to build your church. Lord, help us to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ and to not forget that. Lord, help us to rejoice in that and delight in that. That on that day we would delight in one another, standing there together, pass through the flames, those worthwhile conversations, those encouraging words, that they would be building something beautiful. We pray that you would give us the grace and the strength to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.